At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Coach Behrens, thanks so much for being on the show. Appreciate you coming back.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. I got to tell you, a lot of our kids, Alex Fiala was one of them, tell me how peaceful they feel starting their day with your morning walks.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. Listen, it's the first time I guess we talk on record. So first off, I want to congratulate you for being Coach of the Year last year. That was pretty cool.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was like an amazing season, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I'm glad the coaches and the kids got that big payoff in the community. That was one of the coolest experiences of my life, just the environment, that game, and seeing all the support.
Yeah, I mean, I know we sat here, like, before the season, right? And I kept talking to you, like, you know, what game are you looking forward to? And you kept saying, West Haven, West Haven, West Haven. Who knew that would be the final?
Here we are.
We didn't know, right? There's so much we can talk about last year, but let me ask you a question. Was there a moment in the season that you kind of knew that the team was destined to be where it was?
I'd say the Southington game. We got down 2 scores early. You definitely kind of have that moment where you look up and just kind of think, well, that's not how we drew that one up. And kids came out. They didn't waver at all. Coaches didn't waver. That was an awesome environment, by the way, up there. All the little kids from the middle school, like, boo, the Wreckers are terrible. It was a cool setup. But, that moment. And then the way we just got firing and score, I actually thought there was a wider margin than the score actually looked. And at that point, I knew that it was just going to be as long as everybody, kept their egos out of it and just did their jobs and kids did their jobs and didn't worry about who was getting what and this, that, and the other and just focus on what they could, that we could be a really special team.
Yeah, no doubt. I do, because you mentioned their crowd of that game, and I was on. It's one of the few games I actually set on that side, you know, the visiting side, and they were a loud crowd, you know, especially because they got up 3 scores, like you said, right? Okay. But it was it got somber really quick.
Yeah, they were chirping the boys a little bit to start the game. They actually looked up in the crowd at a couple of things that the kids said before the game. I actually looked up there and laughed. I was like, that's a pretty good one.
That's good, right? You played them, you know, you played them again, mm-hmm. and you did the same thing, you know, there was a cut in West Haven. When you play a team twice in a season, how do you prepare for that a little bit? Is it any different than you did, you know, as going into not having played them?
Yeah, it's a good question. You obviously go back and look at the first game, make sure you check the boxes and anything that maybe didn't shore up or put you in a bad spot in that first game. You take care of that. And then obviously there's an evolution throughout the season. You look at the other teams up and down. So you have to look at what players you have. The teams are going to be different, right, more often than not, just with injuries and kids moving up and kids stepping up and things like that. But it's cool because you get to – I like the idea of getting to go back and fix the things that, like, weren't great the first time. So I guess that would be the biggest difference, or the things that I look at or that I enjoyed the most out of it, was getting another crack at something that you don't really feel you did as well the first time as you wanted to. And even, you know, like winning against Southington, but then wanting to go out and kind of make sure it's very clear, like, what the situation is. And
And that same second game was hugely different.
Yeah, and then, same with West Haven, where you do lose one, then obviously you want to go back and fix those problems. But, the coaches had a great plan coming out, understanding, and in my mind, they had 3 kids that I feel very strongly could go play Division I receiver, and for them to come out and not be able to move the ball and throw it and have all the turnovers we did, that was really impressive, in my opinion, on the coaches and the players to be able to make those adjustments and do those things and, again, showed really what the situation should have been first time.
I know you don't take much credit for it, but the secondary credit, I think you played secondary when you played.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and especially during the playoff run, I think kind of starting the Greenwich game where that second half, they couldn't move the ball on you. Mm-hmm. And then from that point on, really nobody moved the ball on you for the rest of the season. Prep had some, but not much. It was a very cold game, weird. But was there anything different that you guys did from that run, especially from the secondary and the defensive side of the ball, that kind of changed things, or no?
Not only in the secondary, but just across the defense and really across the team. After the West Haven game, just told everybody, like, look, we're not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but we're going to coach you a lot harder. It's not personal. We're just doing it because we care. We know what you guys can be. We're also going to be a really physical football team, and we're going to be tough. And so we started practicing that way. And the secondary, you know, their big thing was if people are going to be running around the middle with their hands up trying to catch footballs, and they're going to understand that that's probably not the best idea. And so that was kind of the tone they wanted to set and the reputation they wanted to get. And I think, as you saw going into the playoffs, I think some people kind of understood that there were some sharks in the middle of the field.
Yeah, everybody kind of, they ran a lot of outs on you and you know, throw it, you know, just everything seemed to be going outside. A lot of things were not going toward the middle of the defense because you guys had that cover. And,
even know, with that, the, you know, the middle, but, you know, guys will throw hitches in a lot of defense. You're going to give the flats up and you're going to do that. But to even have our corners, Alex, Anthony, the other guys, the way they'd catch a 4 or 5 yard ball, like, those kids knew they were going to get punished on that too. So it just kind of, I jokingly in one of the games was like, man, if I was one of those receivers by the end of the game, if I came out of my cut and I looked over and saw the quarterback looking at me, I'd be like, man, quit throwing the ball. Go over there.
Just run out in the middle, hand the ball off. Right? Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And it's like, and it's interesting because I, you know, being close to the sideline, you get to feel how hard those hits are. And I think some people, they're like, on the stand, you don't actually get to see it. You're close, obviously, the action. But you're right. Your defense was, I mean, extremely aggressive. They played within the rules, but did everything great.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I just want to reminisce, you know, before we move on this year, about the state championship. I mean, I've watched that game about 3 times now. But I just, there's just so many key moments. But what in your mind sticks about that game the most?
There's a lot of them. Honestly, as you said it, the first thing that popped in my head was Caleb running over to the sideline like this. Yes. And he was kind of freaking out a little bit. And I can't feel my arm. I can't feel my arm. And he's like, uh-oh. I go, can you throw? He goes, I don't know. I need a ball. I need a ball. I need a ball. I go, all right, man. Just can somebody get him football, please? He threw it. And, that would be one, him gutting it out with a separated shoulder. I've felt that pain before, and it's not fun. I can't imagine throwing a football with that. Sammy's big play on the catch. Alex Fiala just putting his head down, running through the pile and score. Max Murillo, obviously.
We
got the picture in the hallway. just collectively the way, just the whole thing, just the way everybody went through it. But, yeah, those are a couple of the key ones. I could list, like, 15 more for you.
Right. I mean, that game lives in my mind, like, in so many things. But I don't know if you remember this. You remember at halftime? What happened at halftime? I was literally, my wife and I were sitting in the tent where you guys really are. And you guys were down at that point. Or was it a tie? What the halftime
score
was.
It's all blur.
Right. Let's forget about the score. But so we were sitting there, like, just kind of, we were up resting, and you were so calm. You came over, you said hi, kind of had a little chat with us, and then went on about your business. I mean, are you always this calm at any situation?
No.
Absolutely
not. I can come unhinged at times, but as I get a little older and get some gray hairs, which I wish would come in faster, I'm all for it. It doesn't help anybody. And I used to do that. Like, why are we doing this? Like, stop that. Like, okay. Like, they're aware that this is happening. Like, it makes me think of a receiver coach we had at IMG. And I say, you need to be harder on your guys. Like, why don't you ever get after him? He goes, what do you want me to do? Screaming him for dropping the ball? He didn't try to. He knows he dropped it. He's not going to try to drop it again. There's a time and place to get after kids. And like I say, I'll get after people at times, but, you know, it's halftime, the biggest game a lot of people have ever been in, myself included.
Me too.
You know, I'm not going to think very clearly if I'm freaking out. It's not going to help people think any better or help the kids or the other coaches if they see the one they're looking to kind of coming unhinged. Makes me think of when I was at IMG and who's number one versus number two. There was 10,000 people there, Modern Day versus IMG. whoever won that was going to end up being the national championship. We were playing Bryce Young. I want to say there's probably like 10 guys in that game that ended up at least having a cup of coffee in the NFL, but our quarterback forgot to send somebody in motion, and he was an LA kid, and I blew a gasket on him on the sideline. His family was right there hanging over, and I said, if you don't think I'll pull you off the field in front of your family out here, you're crazy. I go, I don't care. I go, I have another D1 quarterback right there that I know can send him in motion. And being an LA kid, he said, Coach, you give me all these like negative vibes right now. Like, I'm trying to do my thing, and like, you're kind of like taken away from my aura. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I pulled him out of the locker room later, and I said, you know what, man? I know that you don't respond well to yelling, and I know that I've never seen you do well when that happens. And as an adult, I got super emotional. I turned around and I did it anyway. That was dumb. That's on me. I'm not going to yell at you anymore, but I need you to just run the offense and send guys in motion. Like, do we have an agreement? He's like, yeah. I go, all right. Sorry for yelling. And I told the kid, I go, I'll never forget this, David. Like, you just made me a way better coach, but it'd be really neat if we could go win this game. But we didn't, and that sucks. But
I love that story. That's such a great story. Everything, the conversation, my aura and negative eyes, it's such a California thing. It's a hip thing. I love it.
I had never heard that one, that I was killing his vibe.
I always find it interesting, like, and the reason I brought it up is because, you know, as a fan, I was sitting there, you know, so nervous, and your calmness kind of calmed at least us down, right? I'm sitting there like, man, if he's like this calm, let me get calm, we got this, right? And I think the team kind of takes that personality, doesn't it?
I hope so. Yeah. Like I said, I don't, I'll be the first one to say, like, I'll yell at people, I'll get after them. It's part of the game, it's a violent sport, right. Like, it's... You got to get people ready to go run into each other. But when it comes, like, it is what it is when you're playing in the game. So there's only so much you can control at that point. And I think one thing that you can control is trying to help people not be emotional in a really, really emotional game.
I love that. And so let's shift gears to this year. You're going to have some big shoes to fill with that. But let's start at the quarterback position. How is Nick looking? How are we looking for the season?
Good, good. He's a sharp kid. He understands offense really well. He's been around us for a while. He can make all the throws. He's a good athlete, and he can run. So, obviously, we keep those guys off limits in the offseason, as most teams do. So, I'm excited to see him once we get into the games, and he can pull the football down and run around and do his thing. And then Liam Berry and Ike Siegel, they're doing a good job in developing and understanding the processes. So, we're in a good spot there.
And I think you're very deep at the running back position. You got Cody, you got Anthony. You know, how are you looking at that, you know, your backfield?
Yeah, awesome. Jared DeLuca, he's going to play a ton for us there. Chaz Darby was having a pretty good off season, and we'll get him back at some point, but I like him a lot. We got some young guys that are doing really well. Coach Ryan Connors, and then we just added Mike Davis, who is in the Westport Police Department.
There you go. I like that.
But he's awesome. He came from Daniel Hand. So, but it's another guy that's in the community that's going to be out there that the kids will see around and do all that. So that's huge. But those two have been doing a great job, and you can see the drills that they're doing immediately translating into the scrimmage situations we've been in or when we go into team and practice. That's always cool when you can see that stuff translate. And you're even seeing it with like the older kids and the stuff that they're implementing with him. And, you know, a guy like Cody or Anthony has done it a little bit longer. That's been good. Yeah, we'll be deep there.
And receiving core, you got Nathan back. You have, you know, Shane back. I mean, how are you looking there and throwing the ball and catching that ball? Yeah.
Good. I've called Nathan Caleb's, and everybody has called him Caleb's little brother forever. So I think today I made the decision. I'm going to switch it to, anytime I refer to Caleb, it's going to be Nathan's older brother.
I like that.
We got Nathan. Shane Sandrews busted his butt. He's top, if not one of the top receivers.
That catch he made against Greenwich stinks on my mind. Remember that catch?
Yeah, Shane?
That was an insane catch. And at the moment, it was needed. I'll never forget that. That was an awesome catch.
I mean, he can run. He can block. Great route runner. Awesome leader. He's done great with our younger guys. Play some DB for us, too, this year. But... yeah, Justin Helke, Jake McGann. I hate naming people because I always feel like I'm going to forget somebody. But yeah, I think we have like Michael Loya, Charlie Leahy, Davis Crandall's going to want to catch a football.
So Charlie's going to play some tight end this year a lot more?
Yeah, for sure.
He played some last year, but defensive end is kind of a...
That's his main thing. That's where he helps the team the most. But as an offensive guy, it's hard to not want a 6 foot four person with a big wingspan out there. So then makes my job easier for the quarterbacks to miss.
100%, right? And I mean, just, you know, and then talking about now switching gears to your defense. I mean, Davis right in the middle running your running back there. I mean, your linebackers there. Mm-hmm. Defense should be as strong, right? As strong as it was last year.
Yeah, Cody Goldman, you got the guys, that, you know, Charlie, the guys that are on the offensive line that'll be playing over. So Eddie Vandermeer,
Brady too.
Brady Dennett. Just talking to coaches yesterday, I'm not going to list anymore because I'm totally going to forget somebody. But they were even like, "This is the deepest that we've been like since the line, they can recall." Yeah, so both they feel good. Defensive line. Talking about that. The offensive line. It's I think we have 10 to 12 guys that maybe wouldn't be in there all the time, but like if you got in a pinch, it'd be like, okay, like as long as we get them up to speed mentally, then like they could suffice and we could get them in there. But yeah, talking to the defensive line guys yesterday, they felt like this is the deepest that has been, which is good to hear.
Yeah, I mean, because if it's, you know, at some point, I think I remember this, like, here we go back to the Southington game, that comeback in Southington. Watching it, I felt like some point, like, those guys didn't want to run the ball anymore. Now, they just didn't want to do it. They just wanted, like, let's just get out of here, right? Let's just let the clock run out and get out. Because they were getting punished so bad, especially by that line. I remember Charlie had a couple sacks in that game where he was, you know, getting off the quarterback, getting off the runner. Is that going to be your identity this year again, just really, you know, playing that aggressive defense?
Yeah, I think that's just who we're going to be moving forward. And I think that that's something from a philosophy standpoint I learned last year and I'll never get away from. It's how I was raised in Bettendorf and how we played football. We weren't very athletic. We never had superstars, but we did our jobs. We were tough kids and we were physical. And I think you can win a lot of football games if you do that and then you cut out like the administrative mistakes that you can control, like false starts, too many guys on the field, jumping off sides, things like that. But yeah, I firmly believe it's a physical game. It's a violent game. And you have, if that's not going to be part of your identity, then you're not going to be able to win 13 game seasons.
And I do, like, and you mentioned, you guys were a very disciplined team last year. Not a lot of penalties. I don't remember. I think, like, you know, I remember a few of them, like, in the secondary, but mostly, like, not many false starts, not many offsides. I mean, the team was really clean.
Yeah, if we get a penalty playing physical or something like that, we'll take that. Now, if it's after the play or something like that, like, that's different. We're not going to play dirty football and do things like that, but those things are going to happen. There will be holds. Like, if you're playing hard, there's going to be penalties. But, yeah, it starts in the summer with our strength coach and really in the winter for the kids that, you know, we have a lot of multi-sport kids, so they're always playing those sports or lifting. Yeah. The kids that don't and then just lift with us in the winter, it all starts with Drew Accomando. The very first day I met that guy, a kid came up to him with this beautiful program that he had and asked, you know, hey, what are the sets and reps? Because you think I killed all those trees so I could answer that question 30 times? Read your paper. If you have any questions, let me know. I was like, we're going to get along really, really well, you and me, Drew. I love this. But starting with him, he sets the culture for us there and just making sure the kids do the right things, that they're very meticulous in how he sets up the weight room when they move the benches, the way he has them clean up the weight room and put everything back. So it starts in there and then obviously translating into the field, and coaches making sure that they have their notebooks and their pens in meetings, making sure they're on time. And if they're not on time, they can just sit outside, and making sure the locker room's picked up, making sure you start behind lines, finish through it. You know, we ask kids not to wear shirts from other schools. I don't want to be looking at our morning workouts and see the mirage of Oregon and Alabama and Yale and Harvard and Princeton, and just, you know, you want to wear Staples lacrosse stuff, Staples golf, Staples water polo, whatever, that's good. Like, we'll support our school and our community, but
I always think that the difference between, you know, and I'll refer to this hotel, it's like you go to a 5-star hotel versus a 3-star hotel, it's all the little details, right? It's I mean, the room's still the same, bathrooms are kind of same size and all that, but there's all these little details that you mentioned about that kind of sets you apart from other programs. And you guys have been very detailed in doing that.
Yeah, that's on the coaches. They do a good job of staying on that stuff and just policing it all. So I've never really felt like I have to walk around and be like the mad enforcer and like, dude. And I mean, yeah, if I see somebody online, I'm going to tell them to get back too. But it makes it really helpful when you got a bunch of guys out there at the same mission doing the same thing. It's the same message to the kids about what the expectations are going to be with finishing and effort and all that. So definitely takes a lot off my plate, not feeling like I have to spend all my time doing that.
Yeah, and I know better than not to ask you what game you're looking forward to. So let's talk about Hampden week one. Right. I know. I learned from last year. Yeah.
Those nasty Dragons from Hampden.
I know. What do you think week one's going to be like for your team? What's the scouting on Hampden, and how do you think you're going to fare against that game?
I think it's going to be a physical game. They're coached well. They're coached hard. You know, we'll obviously hopefully trade film of the scrimmages leading into it and going. But, you know, they're going to have good players. We're going to have to take a bus ride and come play at our home stadium, which I think is a difficult place to play, especially with the way our fans and communities show up.
And listen, you're coming off a state championship. I can't believe everyone. I mean, I'm dying to see you guys play, and I'm thinking a lot of people in the community are as well. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I always want to say it was the Thanksgiving game 2 years ago, the last time we were home doing it, but I did make a note to myself. I told the coaches too, like, I know none of us really worry about this and like the outside noise, but it's been a long couple years, boys. If you get a chance, look up in there and just like understand what this was not too long ago to what it is. And I was like, you guys should feel a lot of pride in what you've turned this into and what you guys have done to like bring all these people together. And
yeah,
I looked up at one point, there were people hanging off like the handicap ramp almost. People, I was like, geez, this is pretty cool.
I know. Listen, it is. I think it everything kind of, obviously everyone loves a winner, right? But I think that there's a lot of things, at least that I know that I see and I hear about the program that really draws people to it, right? And I keep going back to the discipline, right? I mean, I think it's like when you're, and everybody's going to win, lose games. I feel like that's that just happens. It's the nature of playing a sport. But when you see a team that's well-coached and disciplined and playing well, you kind of get behind them. And I think that's what you guys have achieved here.
Yeah, that's a good point. I've never really thought about that in terms of, like, the teams that I gravitate towards and like to watch.
Yeah.
And that, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
I
like
get what you're saying.
It's like it's a good brand of football. I mean, it's like, you know, it's because I always feel like, okay, like if somebody beats you and like, you know, whatever, and a seam down the middle 80 yards, it is what it is. But if you're, you know, if you're always holding, if you jump with offsides all the time, and you're like, okay, you're not trying. You know what I mean? So it's like it's like it feels like it's a good brand of football. It's something that we're all going to be proud of. So for that, I got to commend you guys. It's been really good.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's really fun to watch, regardless of what happens. But I still think that, you know, I mean, you guys coming in as the number one team winning, and I know that you don't pay attention to polls, but
I mean, I'm human. I look at
them. I know you look at them, right? I mean, but the poll you want to be at the end is at the top's at the end, right? It's the big one, very
irrelevant early.
Exactly. I feel like, especially what happened last year with West Haven and all that. But you know, let's just talk quickly about your captains this year. If you don't mind running through me who your captains are again. I know it's Nathan, Armentano, and what are the other guys too?
Anthony is definitely one of our leaders. The captains are Nathan Smith, Eddie Vandermeer, Charlie Leahy, Davis Crandall, and Cody Goldman.
There you go. So, all right. So those guys, you got little defense, little offense, everybody playing everywhere. And what is your main thing for these guys this year, coming into this year?
Right now, we're just focusing on making sure we're getting to the standard we need effort-wise. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, the O-linemen, making sure they finish plays, not, oh, the ball got thrown in the air. That's neat. I hope we catch it. Like, go, man. He might catch it and need some blocks, so get down there. Making sure defensive guys aren't sitting there being like, oh, that'll be cool if Cody goes and tackles him. Oh, man, I should prop maybe. Like, no, go run over there and like get yourself an extra assist.
Right, exactly.
I know when I was playing, that was the idea. I was a habitual pile diver to see how many half tackles I could rack up.
It's part of it, right? It's being involved. And I mean, and I know you guys watch a lot of films, so you always get that film where that guy, I always love when you see that lineman run down the side, right, to try to tackle someone on the side. He looks funny, but he's doing it what he's supposed to do. And that kind of feeds into the whole team.
Yeah, I pulled some clips yesterday and showed some of the guys. St. Joe's was one. I was actually really worried that Luke Goldman and Cody Goldman were going to get hurt because they, St. Joe's had the ball on the 1 yard line, it's fourth down. They smashed the quarterback, but mostly smashed each other. I was like, oh man, get up. Tanner Klepsa came blowing through the middle, just with the rest of the defense. Safeties came coming through. Watching a tunnel screen we had against Greenwich where our left guard runs all the way down the field and like beats some guys down there. Watching those effort things like that.
It's great, right? I mean, it's just like, it's what football is all about. It's all that effort and that never give up mentality. And I think you guys really got that. But without giving, too much away, are you guys going to continue to throw the ball a lot, run the ball a lot? What's going to be your thing this year?
We're going to try to score some touchdowns.
I like that.
Nah, I'm just kidding. Well, I think we'll be pretty balanced. I think we'll, 2 years ago, we threw the ball over the place. Last year, we obviously phased in a lot of the run game a lot of the quarterback runs. This year, I would think we'll be right in the middle. But one thing I learned last year when we're in week three and I'm still trying to throw the ball over the place and do that, it's not working. And coaches are like, you know what, maybe that's just not who we're going to be this year. And I was like, that's a really good point. Let's figure this out. And so I learned more about football last year than I had in a while, just like having to switch identities like that. So I think we'll be more balanced and in the middle, but I'm well aware now going into it that could change really, really quickly. And now what's nice about having been in the same place with the same staff and the same culture and the same community and the same kids who are always going to care and really intelligent, and we know that now you just got to be open to being flexible, and your identity might change midseason. And if it does, it is what it is, and find solutions.
Right. I mean, 6 years now, right? I mean, you're 6 years now. And I remember you said about finding solutions. I remember having a conversation with Zach, and he was talking.
Dog.
Yeah, that's right. And you guys talking about, he said he was mentioning to me a meeting where you guys were trying to move someone around the line, and you guys all looked at each other and made that change, And that kind of just showed me, what kind of a tight-knit you guys are as a coaching staff and how do you guys look for things. So when you were talking about, I learned about changing my identity and things like that. Can you expand on that just a little bit?
One thing identity-wise just with that is just somebody who's from down in Florida is texting me the other day, and they were asking me about what I had learned and where I was at with things, and yeah, that's what the biggest thing I learned. And I was like, probably one of them is that I don't have all the answers and I don't need to make people feel like I do. Like, I don't have any problem just saying, like, I don't know, and trying to figure it out. And I think everybody kind of has that mentality, which makes it really easy to work with everybody and share ideas. You don't have people getting too whiny about anything or, like, have, really putting their foot down, like, no. And I remember, and I can look back and I was completely wrong, but thinking, at IMG, I wanted my opinion to be heard so much and to be a part of it that, I remember sitting there being, not getting off the idea and, it was wrong and, it's something we shouldn't have done, but I just sat on it and wouldn't, let that thing go. And then, you look back and it's like, it's nice to not have a bunch of younger me's where it's like, everybody can just talk and we can do things together and work well and we share ideas and nobody gets upset. And if we have to get off something, we get off something. We don't waste a lot of time doing it. So I've been really fortunate to be around guys like that that make my job a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it only comes experience, right? I mean, it's like you can try to tell someone this is the way it goes, but unless they kind of feel it and live it, you don't change unless it happens to you.
I've thought about that a lot the last 2 years, and just whether it's better to I wasn't micromanaged down at IMG, which led me to say some things at times that maybe I shouldn't have, or I was feeling myself or got a little bit ahead of myself with my ego. But when I learned from that and I was given that free rein, that's when I learned the most, not by being told, here's the playbook of what you should do and this is how you should coach and you should do everything. I had a lot of freedom to just become who I was as a coach and how I wanted to do things. And hopefully I'm making people feel that way. And they do feel that way. And I try not to micromanage so they can experience things and do awesome with it and make some mistakes and learn from it and grow. But I definitely think it, I don't want to say it stings a little bit more when, you make the mistake instead of reading about it, but when it does sting a little bit more, it kind of sits a little bit deeper to where I think you're a lot more likely to not make that mistake again.
I couldn't agree more. We do things, and then it's almost like trial by fire, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're out there trying to do things, and it has worked pretty well for you guys, because I think it's, both last two seasons have been tremendous. You started in 19, and you had some rough seasons there, but as the things... As you kind of, I feel like your philosophy and your identity came into the team, it really changed that. And you brought in your coaching staff, and those guys have been amazing. At least a little bit I talked to them, you really have a good group on hand.
No, it's the best staff in the state, if not the country.
Yeah, they really are amazing. So And I asked her that question last year, so I'm going to ask it again. When we're doing this next year, in your mind, what's a successful season for you?
Just keeping it real, our goal is to win a state championship, FCAC championship, and not to lose football games. And I'd be lying if I sat here and said anything different, and everybody in the room understands that. Everybody understands the pressure that comes with that. We talk to the kids, too, about, like, you know, you guys want to live a life where you don't feel that stuff, or do you want to understand the blessing it is, and, like, you get to feel that. Like, there are not a lot of people that get to be put in these situations and, you know, be in an arena like that. That's why I love it so much. Like, you get to compete. A lot of people don't really. Yeah, I know you can compete at your job and all that, but.
There's nothing like
it. Yeah, and, you know, that's why I've chosen to do it. That's why our coaches have chosen to take part in it and go that route. But for me, I want our kids to, you know, learn how to be competitors, learn how to do things the right way, and make sure they're having fun doing it. And, like, yeah, if we don't win a state championship, like, we're going to be bummed, but there's always going to be the positives where you look back. Like, honestly, if we went 2-8 with this football team, it would be one of the greatest teams and greatest memories I've ever had because of the offseason we had with them, the kind of kids that they are, and getting to know them and spend time with them. So, I mean, yeah, that'd be a freaking bummer. But
I'll go on a limb and say you're not going 2-8. I can say that. You're not going 2-8, but go ahead.
Yeah.
So if, you know, I was reading something today, and I said, you know, and to your what you just said, it's like, you know, winning isn't everything, but wanting to win is. And I think you guys won.
I like that.
You like that, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's like, but you have to want to win. So I love that you just came out and said, hey, we want to win. We want to be up. We want to be there again. Who doesn't?
I was actually having a conversation with one of the administrators the other day, and I reminded him last year when they said, and I've just learned, like, not every conversation's a hill to die on.
Right.
Not that I have all the answers, but, like, some of the stuff, it's like, well, I can engage, and this could be, like, another 20 minutes, or I could be like, yeah, I'm with you.
Sure.
So, anyways, he's like, you know, looking at the schedule, I think we can go 8-2, 7-3 will get us in, and, like, we can make a run. And I was like, yeah, no, I think that sounds doable. And, it, like, but in my head, I'm side-eyeing him, like, what are you talking about, dude? We're not going into this thinking we're losing games. Like, what world are you living in?
Yeah.
I was like, we're not wired like that, and my kids aren't wired like that, and these coaches aren't wired like that.
No.
So I told him yesterday, I go, just so you know, like, here's what the expectation is and what we're going for, and I'm not saying we're going to do that every year, but that is what we're thinking, and that's what we're going for. And
100%.
I was like, I think you'd be crazy not to think that. And he's like, well, I wasn't trying to offend you. I was like, I wasn't offended, but I was like, now you know where I'm coming from.
Right. I mean, I think it's the spirit. Like, I mean, there were so many cool moments on your team last year. One is that during the banquet, I was interviewing Coach Philpott, and I asked him about the aggressiveness of your linebackers, and he said, well, you pick someone to play linebacker because they are aggressive, right? So it's little things like that about it's second nature to you guys, but as we talk about it, That sinks in. So your mentality to want to win all the time, that's what everybody wants. That's what you want to hear, right? I mean, you want to go in there and you want to win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really understand anything else. I was like, tell you when I was, I don't know what they call it up here, cornhole. We call it bags.
Cornhole,
we,
yeah.
We call it bags.
I grew up in Tennessee, so yeah, it's cornhole for me.
We call it bags, but when I was home in July, we left the party and some people were like, you're like a psychopath with like the way you are about stuff. Like, you don't smile and go. I was like, honestly, I don't even realize it. I just go with some stuff.
Just go. Yeah, I get very competitive like that. We like to call table tennis. I get very competitive with table tennis.
I will crush you in ping pong.
So then we got to play. We got, because it's...
Oh, man, I don't want to retract my statement. Let me get back into it over the next month, and then I will crush you in ping pong.
It's like, I get, you know, because we had a workouting, right? And it was like supposed to be, you know, everybody having a drink, whatever. And I'm over there crushing people after just winning, you know? And they're like, dude, I said, no, like, who's the next? Who's next? Bring it on. I got you, you know? So, but yeah, you either have it or you don't.
Yeah, we had the three guys I lived with in college, our townhouse, we had a ping pong table in the garage, and there were some hurt feelings in there, and there were some people that weren't talking for a couple days over it.
I know, and it's like, you know, when I played with my boys, like, and then Mark's like, well, let them win. I'm like, no, I don't let them win. Nobody lets them win. It's part of growing up. That until dad can beat them, dad's going to beat them. And then whenever they can beat dad, they can beat dad.
Now, I had the same thing with my little nieces, my brother, and everybody's like, you need to let them win. I was like, then you need to spend your time playing with them, and you can let them win.
Right, exactly, right. But it's so great. I like I said, I, you know, the 13th can't get here soon enough. I know that's like you guys, we're going to have one full week like of everybody playing and you guys still, but I understand. It's different. You guys go a little longer too as well. So it's, but it's going to be so much fun. Can't wait, Coach.
No, we're fired up, man.
Yeah, so before you go, I want to do a little more personal stuff with you. All right, get the team, everybody to know you a little bit more. Nothing too crazy. We'll see here. What's your favorite smell?
You know, I was on a run the other day and walking. When you go by some of, I don't know what it's called, but some of the trees with the flowers here in Westport just kind of hit you randomly when you're out there enjoying the scenery. So I would say the random Westport flowers.
Love that. What's your all-time favorite favorite family vacation spot?
We would go up to the Wisconsin Dells and go camping up there.
You do like real camping or glamping, the whole thing? Is it like real camping tents? And
we're from the Midwest, man.
I know. That's what I'm asking, because have you seen this whole glamping thing? It's taking over right now, but you guys do real camping. I love it.
Matt Bond, Coach Bond, the head hockey coach, and obviously one of our awesome football coaches. Has an awesome property, and he's talking about setting up some glamping spots, and I was like, how do I get in on that? I was like, I feel like that's a $1 million idea here for you.
You know, it's like I've seen a lot about that, and I was just talking to someone about it today. I can't remember who it was, but it was a work call, and the guy was talking about going camping, and I said, because glamping, you know, for the people who don't know, it's like basically you go camp, but you don't sleep in the tent. You do everything by the camp, then you have a nice bed, a nice shower, right? That's what it's all about, right? So it's like, yeah, but listen, I got to get in on that idea. I got to talk to Coach Bond about that too, because that's a winning idea.
Yeah, we would go up to the Dells and we would do that. My parents would take me to the Chicago Bears training camp in Platteville.
That's so cool.
Where they would play the Bears. I actually ended up... Vinny Testaverde is one of the greatest guys I've ever met, but he was the first quarterback I ever watched, and then I actually got to work with him at IMG later. So one day it clicked. I go, you know what? When you were with the Browns, you came to Platteville, and there was a scrimmage, and I go, and you were the first quarterback I ever remember watching. But that was a cool one.
That is so cool. I remember Vinny with the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Vinny and the Jets, right? That's so cool.
Yeah, he's the most humble human I've ever met. Played 22 years in the league. You'd have no idea, except for the fact that he's 8 foot tall and still in awesome shape. But he'd never tell you.
And you know, and interesting because, you know, I've navigated along in the music world, and you're kind of testing that, you know, people are generally nice and humble, mm-hmm. right? The people who make it, that's who they really are, right? It's just who they are.
I saw that with a lot of the pro athletes down there because my... Honestly, you deal with some of the agents, and it's kind of like, right. Ugh.
Tough, yeah.
And then some of them are awesome, too. Like, some of them I got to know are some of the greatest people ever, like Mike McCartney. Yeah, he's a good one. But, I would go down there, and I'm naturally kind of a quiet kid, you know, from Iowa, so there's not a lot of superstars in anything. Like, the local high school kid is the superstar, and we're kind of just waiting for these people to just be a certain way, and... Man, I tell you what, 9 out of 10 of them are salt of the earth, greatest human you've ever been around.
I know. I couldn't agree more, and that's how it goes, right? So what's your favorite Westport restaurant?
I get a lot of the go food from the Little Barn, and then I got to shout out my guy Harry Brady at Viva Zapata. That's the spot. I found their, got on their burgers lately. Good, really good.
Have you tried their ribs yet?
I don't think I have.
Okay.
I've tried every kind of nacho they have, steak queso fajita.
I love that place. And it's funny because not a lot of people, you know, it's like, it's almost like a little gem around there. But when you get a chance, go have the ribs.
Okay.
I've had it. I mean, it's like, we'll play golf sometime in Longshore and then go there, you know, for the post drinks and post food. And they do an excellent job. I couldn't agree more. I love that place. And it's outdoors. It's great. Everything about it.
No, awesome. The whole vibe's awesome. Yeah. And Harry's been a huge supporter of the program and honestly been a really, really good friend to me since day one.
I love it there. No, I couldn't speak more of it, like I said. And I love the title of their part of the menu, like the Doubting Gringo. It's one of the best titles I've ever seen in the menu. Right?
Yeah, I had to ask him. The first time I did get the burger, I kind of looked around and I was like, just like based off the title there, like... Is this, like, unacceptable, what I'm doing? Because I'm just craving that, and that's what I want. He goes, I make a mean burger. He's like, I got you. He goes, no. But, yeah, I was worried. I looked at the other guy. Harry went away. I was like, does Harry just not want to make me feel bad? I was like, is that Bush League to order? Like, am I playing rookie ball right over here, like, ordering this? He's like, you're fine.
I know. I love it. Yeah, I think they had me at the menu, the Doubting Gringo. I'm like, that's so creative. I got it. But we love the food there. What is one guilty pleasure song on your playlist?
Candidly, I don't think I have one. I can tell you that I hate R&B, so none of that will be on there.
You're a country guy?
I listen to country, yeah.
I love country, too, as well. Who's your favorite artist in country?
I like Zach Bryan right now, like everybody else.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't go Morgan Waller. Well, I love Morgan, too. I mean, he's in the afternoon. That's awesome. What is the last series you binge-watched?
Last series?
Yeah. You don't have a lot of free time with this.
I think I went back and watched Sons of Anarchy. I mean, I know I did. Yeah. I don't know if that was the most recent. I just watched the Connor Stallions documentary from the sign stealing. That guy's nuts.
That's awesome. I know you're not owl. And what is your go-to late night snack?
I usually don't eat dinner till pretty late. So just whatever I'm eating for dinner, I'll probably eat pretty late.
So you're like kind of late dinner kind of guy. And how do you keep the weight off?
What's that?
How do you keep the weight off?
Oh, working out. trying to eat a little bit healthier.
Yeah, that's good. Because it's, you know, I was used to be the same way, so it's kind of tough. But usually, like, you know, when I'm doing all the late stuff, like, I'll grab a snack here. If you eat late, I totally get it. Aside from family, what's the one thing you can't live without?
Honestly, at this point, I would say our football team.
Awesome. And when you're free time, when you're not doing football, what's your favorite activity to do?
Just watching football count. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, to help me stay connected with some people back home and my nieces, I've started playing video games again. So I'll play like NCAA and Fortnite with people.
Oh, I got it. Well, as a family, we love playing Mario Kart.
Mm.
I don't know if you've ever played Mario Kart.
I'm better at Mario Kart than I am ping pong.
Oh, my God. Then we got to get together to settle some of these things. Because
what system?
Well, we play it on the Wii. Not the newest the newest Nintendo, whatever the newest one is.
Is the controller the same as an N64?
Well, we have retro controllers and new controllers. So, like, at home we have four. So I end up playing in the one that's N64. Like, my wife and my sons, they have, like, the newest wireless one, whatever it is. But we don't do wheels. We do, like, just with...
If I can play on an N64, that's going to be bad news for everybody.
Okay. Then you can take that, because I play on it, and it's, like, not my favorite thing to do.
As long as the other controllers don't give you an advantage.
Oh. No, I don't think they do. I think it's just about... They're just not... Well, I think it's what you're used to, right? I mean, I think the N64 one's kind of bigger and bulkier and heavier. The newest ones are just, like, lighter.
Do you know how to power slide?
Oh yeah, you got to drift. You got to drift. Right. That's one thing that
I just wanted. Yeah. I didn't. If you didn't know how to power slide, I don't want to be wasting time on this.
No, I really want you to play with our friend because both of my boys, especially my young one Brian, you know that when they're choosing the cars, it's like the speed can be here, but then like the acceleration has to be really high because you're drifting through the entire racetrack. And before I drifted, I'm like, well, I didn't really understand that. But that power slide, man, it just goes and it just takes you.
Game changer.
No. Yeah, it is. And once you learn it, and it's like
a little extra mushroom.
I know, yeah, exactly. It's an extra mushroom all the time. So we got to have you over to play Mario Kart and a ping pong afternoon. We'll do that. That's gonna be a lot of fun. We'll take some pictures and let everybody know. It'll be fun. And we'll end with this: if you could go back and relive one day in your life, which day would that be?
Probably a family reunion when I was little, or like a Christmas Eve or something at my grandma's house when everybody was there.
I love, you know, you talk about that some days, like Google would give me photos of when everybody was young, and I'm saying, I'm just not ready for this today. And this, like, you have a big family?
I have two brothers.
I met one of your brothers. He was in town a while ago doing basketball. I did, yeah. You have two brothers.
Yeah, he just got a new job at my alma mater, actually.
Really?
So the better he's doing in life, he's moving farther north than Minnesota, which I don't understand, but whatever.
Right.
Yeah, I have two brothers, but my mom's family, my grandparents had eight kids, and then on the other side there was three. So I had a ton of cousins. I was just back visiting my grandma, and I don't understand how she used to fit like 60 people in her house, just with all the grandkids and all that and going. But, yeah, it was awesome. I remember... Like, a lot of my best friends growing up were my cousins, so I remember, like, everybody getting together and playing basketball, and we'd play semi-tackle football on the street, like idiots, so people are slamming into cars.
The good old days, right?
Yeah.
I know, it's like, I go back to, and you just said about that, I remember, you know, taking family vacation in Brazil, and it was everyone, I mean everyone, I had a big, my mom's side is a big family, and obviously, not only did you invite cousins, you got everyone to come, right? And us, the kids, we got to sleep in the kitchen. So they have, like, little, you know, whatever, inflatable beds, whatever. And, like, The parents would live in living rooms, bedrooms, and then kids would just, and we had the best time. It didn't matter, right? You'd fit 100 people in a house that, you know, it's like, I don't know, 2,000 square feet, and it'd be fine.
Yeah, no big deal.
No big deal. A lot of fun. But thanks so much for sharing those memories. That's awesome. Appreciate it.
For sure.
Coach, listen, best of luck this season. We'll be there. Can't wait for it to start. Like I said, the 13th feels like a long time away, but we know it'll be here before we know it. And I want to wish you guys, again, like I said, best of luck. Thank you for everything you guys do. I think it keeps the community really engaged, and we're really proud of the program.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you for everything you guys do, bringing all the sports together and the community as well. I really appreciate all the stuff that you guys do, and I know the kids in our football community and really the whole sports community does as well.
I appreciate it. Hey, Coach Barron, best of luck. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, man.